In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, son of Iddo, saying, "The Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore, say to them, 'Thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets cried out. Thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not hear or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers?" So they repented and said, "As the Lord of hosts purposed to deal with us for our ways and deeds, so has he dealt with us." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pray for Tim as he delivers the word to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for Tim. We give thanks for the words that he has heard from you today and this week. And we ask that our hearts and ears are open to all he has to say to us today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jane. Well, this weekend has been one of great celebration. Not only are we celebrating Pentecost today, the birthday of the church, not only are we celebrating the end of thy kingdom come, and for the last 11 days we've been praying for our five family members and friends to come to know the Lord Jesus. We've been praying, as the church has done through the years, come Holy Spirit between Ascension and Pentecost. And then we get to today, Pentecost Sunday. Of course, there is the small matter of a Platinum Jubilee as well to throw into all of that mix. It has been a weekend full of celebration, and hopefully there is more to come, and the rain will stop, and we'll have glorious sunshine as we enjoy our burgers and sausages outside. But just before we dive into Zechariah, I just want to pause for a moment and think about what we are celebrating today in terms of the Queen. She has been on the throne for 70 years. It's a life that has been dedicated to service and a life that has been faithful to Jesus. We heard on Friday from Archbishop Stephen during that service of thanksgiving that the Queen has been somebody who has defended the faith for the last 70 years. He said if it was a prop, then he would lean hard on it. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's not my original, so I'm not claiming credit for it. If faith is a crutch, then give me two. I have no shame in saying I need that crutch. The sermon that was preached by Archbishop Stephen, will have been listened to by millions of people across this country, across the Commonwealth, and across the world. And at the heart of it, there was an evangelistic message. And I pray that those who heard it will have been touched by what was said, and it maybe just spark that interest for those people who don't yet know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. He was challenging, think about it. That's what we've been doing through Thy Kingdom Come. We've been praying for our friends and family who don't know Jesus yet. And just because Thy Kingdom Come ends today, friends, don't stop praying for your friends and family members. Keep going. As I said last week, if we've been praying for 5 years, we've been praying for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, keep going. Don't give up hope. In that video we watched from Archbishop, and that was Justin last week, he said there are people waiting to take their place within the church. They just don't know it yet. So let's keep praying for them. And today we celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the church. The day when we remember the Holy Spirit being outpoured upon the disciples and everyone. And it's the day when we also remember that Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, brought 3,000 into the family of God in Acts 2. It was a day like no other. And there were no other days like this. Now, of course, the Spirit has been poured out since then. We know that. But in many different ways. There is so much in Acts 2 that we can actually spend an entire series just looking at Acts 2. But with the way things that have been in the church and the world, it feels more than ever that we need that fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, the song this morning, we need another Pentecost. Send your fire today. That is our prayer. Send your fire today. Come, Holy Spirit. We need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And boy, do we need it now. But I just want to briefly look at Acts 2. Because it is all linked back to where we are in Zechariah. Not working, Josh. Thank you. In verses 38 to 40 of Acts 2, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The promise is for you, a spelling mistake, you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. There is no messing about from Peter. There is no should I or shouldn't I say this. There is no, well, if you'd like to. It's basically repent and believe and be baptized. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Friends, that's very words that have been said by Peter back on Pentecost could have been said today to the church, to the nation, to the world in today's society. It's a message that has been carried down the ages, and it's a message that we need to carry forward now as the church of Jesus Christ as we renew, as we restore, and as we rebuild. Archbishop Stephen encouraged people to think about what it means to follow Jesus. And isn't it great when we get those times when a sermon like that goes out to the millions and people hear the message of Jesus Christ? I think back to, which was it Harry and Meg's wedding, when Bishop Michael Curry preached all about love and gave the Christian message to millions of people. It was all heard. And it is great when that happens, but that is not the everyday. It is not the everyday when a message like that will go out to the millions and the millions. It starts with the local church. The message of Jesus Christ starts with me and it starts with you. It starts with what we are going to be doing this afternoon as we serve our community, as we welcome them in to celebrate the Queen. There will no doubt be questions. Well, why are you not charging for this? Well, it's because we're blessing you. Because we want you to know that we are here for you and that we love you. And if that just sparks that interest in Jesus, that's what we want. That message that Peter preached all those years ago on that first Pentecost is a message that has been carried down the ages and will be carried down long after we have gone. On Friday, of course, we welcome people into the church to watch the service of Thanksgiving, to serve them. This afternoon, we'll hopefully be welcoming many, many more to join us as we continue the celebrations for Her Majesty. What if, friends, what if, like on that day of Pentecost, the Spirit would be to fall on us, on this place. And that as those people who come to get a burger this afternoon would receive the Lord Jesus. What if we could say, this afternoon in Bushmead, we served the community and 3,000 people came to know the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing? Now, what's your first thought when I say that? Would it be, Tim's lost the plot, that's never going to happen? Would it be, do you really think that could happen? I'll be honest, I'm in the camp of it. I'm really thinking, could that actually happen? Maybe not. But if you are in either of those camps, I want to challenge you this morning. And I want to challenge myself because I'm in that camp of I'm not sure it can happen. But I want to challenge myself because we worship the God of the impossible. We worship the God who made the heavens and the earth. And it could happen. We worship a God who sent his son to die and to rise again for us. If God can bring his son back to life, then surely, surely, in Bushmead this afternoon, it could happen. Are we prepared? Are we ready to go? Are we ready to respond to people who may want to know more about the Lord Jesus this afternoon? Or are we going to just shy away and think, well, maybe now's not the time? Look back to Peter. He didn't go, well, I've just received the Holy Spirit, now's not the time to preach. He goes out and preaches, and 3,000 come to know him. come to know, come to know the Lord Jesus. Of course, as I've mentioned, you'll have received that email update from me on Friday with all the stuff that's going on in the church. And on first glance, it looks like a lot of work. As I was preparing that document, I thought, heck, that's a lot of work to do before September. But if we follow what we've learned from Nehemiah and Haggai and what we'll hopefully learn from Zechariah, if we all play our part, then that document that I sent out to you is more than achievable. It is more than achievable. But to get to that point, we need to learn to rely on each other. We need to learn to keep being propped up by our faith. And if we don't, then it will fail. We need to make sure that we return to the Lord and keep our eyes fixed on him as we move forward. Acts 2, Peter tells the crowd, repent and believe. It fits in with where we are in the Old Testament. Having spent 3 weeks exploring Haggai, today we take that step now into Zechariah. And those first 6 verses begin with a call to return to the Lord. Zechariah was a young man when God called him to minister to the struggling Jewish remnant trying to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Zechariah joins Haggai, and after Haggai delivered two of his messages, Zechariah joins him, and they are together in ministry for a short time. Haggai got the building program going again after a 16-year hiatus. And now it's the time for Zechariah to encourage the people to finish the work. Zechariah receives from God some good and comforting words. If we were to go on in Zechariah 1:13 and 1:17, he gets good and comforting words from the Lord to assure the people that despite the hard times, God was with them and that God would see them through. This is essentially where we are, I feel, as a church. We spent the time praying and preparing. Back in 2020, when we studied Acts, it all began. There was a hiatus. We've looked at Nehemiah, about the wall being rebuilt, starting to move forwards. We've looked at Haggai as we explored starting again after COVID. And now we reach Zechariah as we look to finish off the work that has been done to go in September. We need to make sure that we are ready to go. Because there is time for talking is over. Time for preparing, for praying, for planning. We've done that. We've spent time doing that. And I thank you for your patience as we've gone through that process. But now is the time to get the wheels into motion to be ready for when September comes. And I'm not going to get distracted by Green Day again today. The first message that Zechariah delivers, the one that we looked at today, is a difficult one. Because it is all about repentance. The Lord is asking Zechariah to call the discouraged people away from their wicked ways and obey the word of God. So essentially, the text that Zechariah would quote for his sermon would be the well-known 2 Chronicles 7:14. A verse that is well-known by us, I know. It has come up a few times now. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Zechariah invites people to look back over the history of the nation and see what had been done to provide the Lord. That doesn't make sense. See what I've done to provide the Lord. And there was anger and there was judgment from the Lord, verses 2 and verses 4. The Jewish people will have known their history well. They knew that God had sent prophet after prophet to plead with their forefathers to return to the Lord, but the nation refused to listen. Verse 2, the Lord was very angry with your ancestors. Verse 4, do not be ashamed, turn from your ways and evil practices, but they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. He has tried. Indeed, if we look elsewhere in the Old Testament, just a few examples. Isaiah warned the leaders that God would discipline the nation if they didn't change their ways. Isaiah 2:6 to 3:26, 5:1 to 30, 29:1 to 14. Jeremiah wept as he warned Judah and Jerusalem that judgment was coming from the north, from Babylon, and that the Jews would be exiled for 70 years. Jeremiah 1:3, 1:13 to 16, 4:5 to 9:6, 22, 26, 25, 1 to 14. Have a look at them later. But Zechariah then shares God's promise with the people. Return to me, and I will return to you. Verse 3. God had left the people to their own ways. And that was why they were experiencing trouble. That is why in Haggai 1 we see the start of this call. But it needed repeating. For us in 2022, we've got James 4:8 as a reminder. Come near to God and he will come near to you. And as A.W. Tozer reminds us that if we want to be close to God, we must be obedient and develop godly character. So Zechariah asks the people two questions. Your fathers, where are they? The prophets, do they live forever? If the people had answered honestly, they would have said, well, many of our fathers are dead because they were slain by the Babylonians. Some are still in exile in Babylon. Some of the prophets are dead because our ancestors killed them. If they were to answer honestly. But that's not the point of these two questions being asked by Zechariah. He is making the point that by the death of the prophets, it means loss of opportunity for the nation. By the death of the prophets, it means loss of opportunity for the nation. For us at Christ Church, I believe, friends, that we have been given the opportunity to move forward, but we just don't want to lose it. We don't want to be sat here next year saying, we had all those plans and it all went wrong. We don't want to do that. It all went wrong because we didn't do anything. It might all go wrong because we might have not heard it right, but we don't want to be saying went wrong because we didn't do anything. We want to be sat here next year and say, next Pentecost, when we remember Pentecost, do you remember when we got going last year? Do you remember how things looked in 2022 and now in 2023? Look how different things are. That's what we want to be saying. We cannot and we must not waste this opportunity as the Israelites did time and time and time again, which we read about in Scripture. Zechariah talks about the loss of opportunity for the nation. Yet the word of God itself that is spoken and written by the prophets can and will never die. The word eventually catches up with rebellious sinners. God's living word will track down offenders. Some of the forefathers repented, but it was too late to save Jerusalem. Some may have repented when Nebuchadnezzar and his army arrives at the gates of Jerusalem. Some may have repented when exiled in Babylon. But what we hear from Zechariah today is that he is calling the people to repent so that they are prepared for the messages that are to come next, the messages that he will deliver from God. Unless our hearts are right with God, we can't hear his word with true spiritual comprehension. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, says the writer to the Hebrews, Hebrews 3, 7 to 8. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. How are our hearts this morning, friends? Are we full of energy and ready to go and ready to welcome people to share the good news of Jesus Christ this afternoon? Or are we just sat here thinking, well, that's a nice thing you're saying, Tim, but it's not going to happen? As we hear from God this morning through our service, as we hear from the Holy Spirit, as we remember Pentecost, are we going to go, well, that's all well and good to listen to now, but as soon as it's over, I'll go back to my ways? Are we prepared to turn our hearts back to God and not harden them, to open them, to hear what he wants us to do? How often, when we go to Christian events, to big events such as New Wine and Spring Harvest, we hear the evangelistic talk. We hear the call for the lost sinners to come forward and come to know Jesus, which is all good and biblical. But how often do we hear people speaking and calling God's people to repent? How often do we hear that call? I know we have a confession in each and every church service, but it is more than that. It's about truly repenting before the Lord. It's about getting our hearts into the right place. It's not simply saying, oh, sorry, God, I won't do that again, then leaving the church and doing exactly what we said we wouldn't do. It's not about that. It's not just words. This is more than words, friends. It is about truly being humble before God and saying, yes, Lord, we have messed up. It's about kneeling before him, and it's about repenting for the sins that have weighed us down, for the sins that have caused us to fail. That's what Zechariah is saying. He is calling God's people to return to the Lord so that they can achieve and do the work that they have been called to do. It's the message of the prophets. It's the message of John the Baptist. It's the message of Jesus himself. The Great Commission is important. Calling lost sinners to repent and know that the Lord Jesus is important. To call sinners to repent and come to know the Lord Jesus. That is important. And that's what happens at Pentecost. Peter says, repent and believe, and over 3,000 were baptized. Archbishop Stephen was calling people to think about faith and what it might mean to them. The message should not be lost on us, though, as the people of God, because we too still need to repent of our sins before him. And if we look at Revelation very, very briefly, 5 of the 7 churches that are written to are called to repent. Ephesus, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, and Laodicea. They are all called to repent. The church is called to repent. And the verse references are on the screen. If we look at Laodicea, it's after that verse in 3:19 calling the church to repent that Jesus then says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. To receive that promise, we can't take that verse out of context, because we're very good at taking things out of context. We have to look at it in its completeness in that letter to the church in Laodicea. We have to repent, and then Jesus will stand at the door and knock. We have to get our hearts in the right place before we welcome him in. To receive that promise of Jesus, we have to repent first. And we want to move forward with God's blessing. We often ask God to bless us. But the question I want to propose this morning is, are we the kind of people that he can bless? Are we the kind of people that God can bless? Are we people who are willing to humble ourselves before God, to repent of where we've got it wrong? Are we ready to return to the Lord to hear what he is truly saying to the church in this time? If there was a letter written to this church in this day and age, would it say, church, it's time to repent? Or would it be, well done, you're ready to go? Would it be both? Would it be, now is the time to repent, and then you're ready to go? I truly believe that the journey that we have been on as a church has brought us to this place where we are now ready to take those next steps. Pentecost Sunday is the culmination of Thy Kingdom Come. The 11 days where we've prayed, we've joined with Christians across the centuries who have prayed the simple ancient prayer, Come Holy Spirit. We continue to make that our prayer now and as we move forward. We have prayed for God's blessing. We have prayed for God's vision and direction. We have plans in place to put that into action. Are we ready for what God is going to do as we start to see those things in that piece of paper, those 4 pages, get into place? Are we able to keep our eyes on him, to dream the impossible, to say, come Holy Spirit, and know that when we pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit comes? Are we ready to humble ourselves and repent of those things that weigh us down so that we can become the people whom God truly can bless? That's the God who we worship. That's the God who Zechariah is calling the people of God to return to. That is the call to us today, I believe. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the journey that you have brought us on. We thank you for all the prayers, the plans, and the preparation that has gone into this vision, that has gone into how we renew, restore, and we rebuild Christ Church in 2022 and beyond. And this morning, Father, we want to come before you to humble ourselves and repent of those times when we've got it wrong. Not simply through words, but we really, truly want to repent and to change our hearts, to make our hearts open and ready for you. Would you come, Holy Spirit? Come and speak to us now. Just as Andrew plays, I want to encourage you to go to that place where perhaps you've been afraid to let the Lord in because you know it's painful. Because you know it's something that you keep doing that pulls you away from him. I'm not going to ask you to say what it is. It is between you and the Lord only. Allow the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost to fall afresh on you, to minister to that deep, dark place in your heart so that you can repent and become a person whom God can truly bless. I'm not saying God's not going to work if we don't, but to become that person who can truly hear from God, to receive God's blessing that he wants to pour out on us. I'm going to ask you to do something really brave. If you feel there is something you need to repent of, to just stand where you are. As I say, I'm not going to ask you what it's about. Nobody's going to ask you. It's between you and the Lord. It's a brave step, but take that step this morning to say, yes, God, I want to humble myself before you. I want to repent of what's brought me away from you. And I want to return back to you. If that's you, I just encourage you to stand. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come and have your way. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who have stood. And I pray for those who it might be too scary to stand. That's okay, we know you can still work. I pray that this morning we would humble ourselves. Turn our faces back to him. Then he will heal the land and hear from heaven. Holy Spirit, would you fall afresh? We need another Pentecost. Send your fire today. Peter says, repent and believe. Zechariah challenges God's people to return to him. The Spirit of the churches says, repent. And so we repent this morning, Lord. Got a picture of almost like a really dense forest, and it's really dark and you don't know the way out, but the Lord's saying, just take my hand, I will lead you through that darkness into the light, so you can run through the fields with me. If that speaks to anyone, I'd love to pray with you. Come and find me at the end of the service. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Lord. Today, friends, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Amen. And to carry on in prayer, if you're engaging with God, just stay where you are. Don't feel the need to rush. We'll carry on with our intercessions.